Lord, how grateful we are for the body of Christ. How grateful we are for one another. And I do, I pray, Lord, that there would be a oneness in the body of Christ, that there would be unity in the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for making each one of us, those who know you, for making those of us who know you as members in your body. And I do pray in advance tonight that if anyone is here tonight who's never been placed in your body, that that would change tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. It is always a wonder and a delight and a blessing to me to consider the men that Jesus surrounded himself with in his public ministry. Those 12 guys, those 12 disciples, they eventually became the 12 apostles. It seems that Jesus went out of his way to pick a team that was as diverse as it possibly could be. And it seems as you read the Gospels that he picked guys that required so much time, so much development, and so much training. I look at the guys that Jesus picked to be on his team, and I read the stories, and I know there's hope for me. It's funny, sometimes we think of the apostle as these theological great thinkers, but when you read the Gospels, they didn't know what was going on. They were always asking Jesus to clarify. And there was great diversity on that team. There were two zealots that Jesus called to be on the team. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Now, these guys were zealots. That is, they were against the Roman Empire, politically driven to overthrow the Roman Empire. That was their leaning. And then on the same team, Jesus put a tax collector, Matthew, the tax collector, who basically sold his soul to the Romans and as a Jew was collecting taxes for the Romans. Put both of them on the same team. That's diversity. And that's what Jesus seems to like to do. He likes to take all sorts of different people, throw them in the mix, and unite them and use them together for his glory. You see that in the church in the book of Acts, all the personalities of the apostles and the first church leaders. And you just see all these different people working together. I think of Paul the apostle, who was that type A personality. Get the work done. That's his mentality. And he's paired with Barnabas, who's kind of a lovey-dovey, feely-touchy people person. And they go together out on the very first missionary journey. And so diverse, yet, again, God putting these diverse elements together and using them together. The church today is filled with diversity. Think of all the denominations that Christians have divided themselves up into. Baptists, Presbyterian, Methodists, Lutheran, Calvary Chapelites, all of these different Christians in different groups who worship a little different or do things a little differently, yet I am convinced that God is using all of them together for his glory. I look inside the Calvary Chapel movement and I see diversity. I was just at the pastor's conference last week. Every time I go there, I'm amazed at the other clowns that I serve in this movement with as a pastor. I see ex-bikers, ex-gangsters, ex-drug addicts that are now pastors. I see ex-hippies that are serving as pastors, yet they still dress like hippies. And then I even see engineers like myself. I see ex-doctors. I see ex-lawyers and all these different guys, just diverse, God bringing them together and using them together.
I remember one evening we had worship. And this was a couple years ago, actually. And two guys came out to lead worship for the pastors that one night. The first guy comes out and out rolls a grand piano. And this guy walks out basically wearing a tux with the tails and everything. And he sits down and he starts playing the piano, beautiful worship music, for about 15 minutes. The grand piano is rolled off the stage and out walks the biggest man I've ever seen. And he's got this huge cowboy hat on. His name is Dennis Agajanian. I don't know if you've heard of him. And this guy plays the guitar almost violently. It's crazy how cowboyish and manly he is. And I just, man, that's opposite ends of the spectrum. And that's what Jesus does. He takes people from all these different angles, backgrounds, walks. Look at our fellowship. Just look around at the people that God has called here into this fellowship. And we're called to serve God together as a body. Paul the Apostle speaks of the body of Christ here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he uses a perfect illustration, perfect example. In verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Here Paul uses the human body to illustrate the body of Christ. The human body is likened to the church, the body of Christ. And I think it's a brilliant illustration. I think it's perfect. I think it's perfect because all of us can relate to it, for you see, all of us have a body. Have you checked lately? You've got a human body. And wherever we go in this body. And so if you want to know what the church is supposed to, how it's supposed to operate and function or sort of look, then all you need to do is look at your body in the mirror. The human body is a perfect example because in the human body you have both unity and diversity at the same time. The human body is one body. I have one body. Terry has one body. Terry's body is sitting up here talking to you right now. It's not like part of Terry is in the third row, and another part of Terry's in the fifth row, and another part of Terry's over here, and another part of Terry right here. If that were the case, I don't think Terry would be alive. I think things pretty bad might have happened to Terry. Terry has one body. It's sitting up in front of you. I'm one. And yet, my body is comprised of different members. I have eyes, I have a nose, I have a mouth, big mouth. I have ears, arms, hands, fingers, legs, feet, toes. And then you look inwards and there's the heart, the liver, the kidney, the brain. All these diverse elements that work together to make one body. The human body is a perfect example of unity and diversity together. And this is exactly what the church is like, what the body of Christ is like. It's one body, yet it's comprised of diverse members, many different kinds of members. And let's consider the unity of the body of Christ first. You do know that there is only one body of Christ, right? There's only one body. It says in verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. There's only one body. There are not many bodies. There are a lot of faiths and religions and religious bodies out there, but there's only one body. Even as Christians, as I said earlier, we divide ourselves up into certain denominations, and then, like even in El Paso, we have local assemblies that meet all over the place. And we may do that, and from our perspective, it may look like there's a bunch of different bodies meeting around, but from God's perspective, there's one body. It's been well said that in heaven there will not be Baptists. There will not be Presbyterians, not Methodists, not Calvary Chapelites, I'll add. In heaven there will only be Christians. One body of Christ. And then Paul tells us that there is only one way that you can become a member of this one body. Only one way. Look at, again, verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. The Bible is clear from here and from other texts in the Scripture that the only way a person can become a member of the body of Christ is for that person to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. To become genuinely born again. To embrace the gospel message. To understand and admit and say to God that you're a sinner. That you failed. To understand that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. And He rose again that third day. And if you receive Him into your life, you are born again. The only one that can become a member in the body of Christ is the one who has made that decision to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Every single person on the face of the planet who has asked Jesus to come into their life, they're a part of that one body. There's no other way around that. And when you become a Christian, at the moment that you say that prayer to receive Christ, supernatural things happen. The Bible says you become born again. You become a brand new creation. All of your sins, past, present, future, forgiven, cleansed. You are justified, meaning God declares you righteous even though you weren't. God positions you as one who's holy. You are now on a road to heaven. But look what else Paul says happens to a person when they accept Christ. Again, verse 13, he says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. And at the end of the verse, and we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. When you become a Christian, when you ask Jesus to come into your life, you will drink of one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You'll partake of the Spirit. In other words, when you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside you. That happens at the moment of salvation. And then it also says that the Spirit baptizes us into the body. At the moment of your conversion, the moment you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, Scripture says the Holy Spirit baptizes you into this one body. What does that mean? It literally means the Holy Spirit unites you with the body of Christ, identifies you with the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit takes you and makes you a member of Christ's body. If you bow the knee, bow the heart, ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit makes you a member of the body of Christ. And that's the only way. So there's one body, and there's one way to become a member of that body. Those who have had their sins forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. Every now and then I am asked, Pastor Terry, how do I become a member of Calvary Chapel Sun City? And I'm asked that because in many churches, there's a formal way that you become a member of a church. In some churches, they require you to take classes, go through a series of classes, or sign a doctrinal statement, or sign your name on a dotted line, or come forward at the end of a church service and formally become a member of that church in front of everybody, or transfer a letter. Or in many churches, there's a formal way that you become a member of that local church. And so I'm asked, how do you become a member of Calvary Chapel Sun City? And my answer is, you become a member of the church by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit baptizes you, identifies you, makes you a member of the body of Christ once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so, how do you become a member of the church? You accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, I know what you're talking about. How do you become a member of Calvary Chapel Sun City? All I would say is, if this is the church that you want to call home, then serve Jesus Christ here. Come regularly. Be active. Serve. Give faithfully to the work of the ministry here at this fellowship. That's how you become a member. Serve. Be a part of the fellowship. If you come regularly and you're involved and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're a member of Calvary Chapel Sun City. Now, I do that, and Calvary Chapel's famous for doing that, simply because a lot of times the formal membership list isn't all that good of an idea. There are many people that think they're just fine with God and they're saved just because they've signed on the dotted line in some church somewhere along the line in their life. Are you saved? Yeah, I became a member of a church 15 years ago. I went, took a class and signed a piece of paper. Were you active in it? No, never went to the church again. But you're a member of the church. Oh, yeah. Why are you a member of the church? Well, I signed the line, but you haven't been there in 15 years. No. But you're a member of the church. Yes. You see what I mean? There are some people that take this formal membership at a local assembly, and it becomes actually something that gives them a false security in their faith. Listen, if you're a member of the church, you will be at church. You will be active in the fellowship. You will be given to the work of the ministry at that fellowship. You will be serving Christ with your brothers and sisters in Christ at that church regularly. That's what membership is. Not just signing on the dotted lines. So, one body, one way to become a member of the body. Now, let me ask you this. What does this one body, the body of Christ, do? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to represent Jesus Christ. This one body is to represent one person. And that one person is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the body of who? The body of Christ. The body of Christ expresses Christ to this world. Jesus Christ functions through his body on this world. Think about it. Your body, how do you express yourself? How do we express ourselves as human beings? Normally through our bodies. How do we function? Through our bodies. Same is true with the body of Christ. In fact, I want you to notice something. Again, look at verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Notice that. As the human body is, so is Christ. Literally, so is the Christ. I want you to notice.
The body of Christ is referred to there as simply the Christ. We are representing the Christ. How does that work exactly? Jesus is the head of the body, right? He's in heaven. All the active members of his body are those who know him on the earth. Together we make up the body of Christ. And it's our job to represent him. It's our job to show him to this world. So church is more than about going somewhere or doing something. Listen to that, my brother and sister in Christ. We are the means through which Jesus Christ functions in this world. We are the means through which Jesus Christ expresses himself in this world. That's amazing to think about. This one body that has entered one way represents one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you think the church is doing? Do we represent Jesus Christ well? I think sometimes we do well, other times we don't. You ever remember being at a carnival and seeing, you remember those headless frames? That, you know, like there was a headless frame made of wood and on the front you have some big muscle band and it's missing the head, or a bathing beauty of some sort, or a clown, and you get behind it, you put your head on it, and you, of course you look silly, you look like a misfit, you take pictures and you laugh about it. You know what I'm talking about? What if we put the head of Christ on the body? On this local body. This one, Calvary Chapel, Sun City. Would the world laugh at us? Or would they stand in awe of a human body so closely related to the divine head? See, church is serious. It's not just going to a place. It's not about just having sort of a commitment to it. This one body exists to represent corporately Jesus Christ to this world. Let's talk about the diversity of the body of Christ. It says there in verse 14, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Now let's talk about how different the members of the body of Christ are. And I'll tell you what, like I said, and we opened up this Bible study, just look around and look at all the diversity within the body of Christ. It's amazing. Verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks." Different racial backgrounds in the body of Christ. Different cultures in the body of Christ. You know, the Jews and their culture was much different than the culture of the Greeks, right? You're aware of that? Big, huge difference. Two genders in the body of Christ. Different ages in the body of Christ. Have you ever thought about that? What a blessing to know that my little 7-year-old daughter, Lindsay, is my sister in the body of Christ. Says they're masters and slaves in the body of Christ. People from different stations in life also in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, you have rich people, you have poor people. I mean, talk about diverse. Understand tonight that there's only one way to get into the body of Christ. But listen, it's open to anyone who wants to join. Listen, Jesus will take anyone. Anyone from any walk of life, from any racial background. He'll have anyone. And he'll knit us all together. And he will cause us to share this wonderful bond in Jesus Christ, this wonderful commonality. And he'll cause us to work together for his kingdom. It's beautiful. It's wonderful.
When Paul is speaking of diversity within the body of Christ, I do think he's emphasizing the different functions in the body of Christ, which we'll talk about in just a moment. As you know, for the last several months, we've been studying the spiritual gifts. Every Christian's been given a different spiritual gift. We have different roles. We have different ministries. There are different, many different types of people that have different kinds of gifts and functions and roles in the body of Christ. Some are faces, some are big toes. Some are kidneys. And every single one is necessary, needed, required. By the way, I happen to believe that diversity is the biggest strength of the church. I really do. I don't like it when churches try to make cookie-cutter Christians. You know, just stamp out Christians and have them all act the same way, talk the same way, dress the same way, smell the same way, pray the same way. I love the diversity that there's in the body of Christ, and it's through all the diverse people that so many people can be reached. How tragic it is when all of us try to become the same person. Then we can't reach out as to many people as if we're all just being ourselves. Diversity is our biggest strength. Now, these are the beautiful principles of the body of Christ. It's one body and it's comprised of different members. There's unity and diversity. And a lot of this information tonight is just a big reminder for many of us. For some of you, it might be a brand new concept. But now, having said that, I would like to give you three exhortations. Now that we know what the body of Christ is and how it's supposed to operate, I want to give us all three exhortations, the same exhortations that Paul the Apostle gave the Corinthians. Exhortation number one, don't you dare belittle yourself, Christian. Don't you dare devalue yourself. Don't you dare compare yourself to some other Christian and think, ooh, golly, I'm less important than that other Christian. I'm not as necessary. I'm irrelevant. If you're a Christian who does that, I'm going to ask you tonight, stop doing that. Don't you belittle yourself. Look what Paul says in verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? I love it. Paul gives a ridiculous example, like feet and what's the other thing in there? Like the feet and the hand, the foot and the hand can talk to each other. As if the foot looks at the hand and says, I can't be like the hand. That hand is so cool. I mean, it can grasp things. It can really touch things. And it can make a fist. And I just like the hand so much. And since I'm not a hand, I'm a foot. I'm not a part of the body. Or the ear. Says, I'm not an eye. Oh, and eyes, they're so beautiful. Everybody looks at the eye first. The eyes are the window to the soul. They're the emotions. They shed tears. I don't do that. I'm a flabby piece of skin hanging on the side of the head. And since I'm not an eye, I'm not really a part of the body. Is that ridiculous? It is. It's absolutely ridiculous. The ear, the eye, the feet, and the hands are all necessary. If our bodies were one big eyeball rolling around down the hallway, how effective would that be? But I want you to know, unfortunately, many Christians are just like that. Look at me, I don't really matter. I don't preach. I don't speak in front of people. I don't sing. I don't play a musical instrument. I don't evangelize thousands in crusades. I don't do any of that. I guess I'm really not a part of the body. I'm not much. Perish the thought. Don't you dare belittle yourself. For you are a member of the body of Christ and you hold a function that is needed by the entire body. If you weren't around, there'd be holes. There would be problems. You would be missed, whether you believe it or not. You would be. Don't belittle yourself. And look what Paul says in verse 18. Now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. Who put you where you've been put in the body? God did. God is sovereign. God places the members in the body just as He pleases. And how about, let's all give God some credit. Does He know what He's doing? Does God know what He's doing? He does. And wherever He's chosen to place you, that's the best place. And to belittle yourself or to get jealous over someone else, in my opinion, that's being disobedient to the Lord. Accept where God has placed you and seek to thrive and function and grow and bear fruit in that area. And I want you to know, maybe you're here tonight and you do feel like you're insignificant in the body of Christ. I want you to know, other people might miss, other people might not notice what you do, but your Lord notices. And you're not insignificant in the eyes of God for what you do in the body of Christ. I love the story of that famous conductor, Sir Michael Costa. He was conducting a rehearsal in which the orchestra was joined by a great chorus. About halfway through the session, with trumpets blaring, drums rolling, and violins singing this rich melody, the piccolo player muttered to himself, "What good am I doing? I might just as well not be playing. Nobody can hear me anyway." So he kept the instrument to his mouth, but he made no sound. Within moments, the conductor cried, "Stop! Everyone stop! Where's the piccolo?" It was missed by the ear of the most important person of all. And I want you to know the most important person of all in your life that you need to impress and be faithful to is Jesus, your Lord. And God has placed you where He has, and it's pleased Him to do so. Don't look down on yourself. Verse 19, "And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body." And if there was only one member, there wouldn't be a body. Listen, the reason there's a body is because there's all sorts of different members. They're all needed.
Again, from the face to the big toe. As a pastor, the Lord has put me in charge of His flock. And I want you to know something that grieves my heart more than anything else. And that's when I run across a Christian who's not excited about where the Lord has him or her. Or when I run across a Christian who considers themselves to be a second-rate Christian, a less spiritual Christian, a Christian that's not really necessary, that grieves me, because the Bible, in the Bible, there's no such thing. We're all important. Exhortation number one, don't belittle yourselves. Exhortation number two, don't you dare belittle others. Don't you dare make another Christian feel less valuable than you are. Don't you dare make another brother or sister in Christ feel as if they are unnecessary. Don't you dare. Look what verse 21 says. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Again, it's a ludicrous, ridiculous sort of thing, right? The eye talking to the hand. Can you imagine the eye saying, looking at the hand and saying, don't need you, get lost. I can do just fine without you. Oh, really, eye? You could see what you'd want to pick up, but you wouldn't be able to pick it up, now would you? But yet in arrogance and pride, the eye would say, I don't need you. Or the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The head's, don't need the feet, got the head. What else do you need? The head's here. Hey. Oh yeah, really? The head might be able to see where they want to go, but without feet, they're not going to get to that location. And yet, sad to say, there are some Christians out there who belittle other Christians, who make other Christians feel second rate. And I have found that most of the belittlement comes from, believe it or not, people who are in full-time paid ministry towards those who are volunteers. I found that. Where someone in a full-time ministry would say, I'm in the full-time ministry. I've given my life to Christ. I've really given my life to Christ. How about you in the pew? You ever run across a minister that feels like that, that makes you feel like that? I used to. It used to drive me nuts. I used to sit in church and think, well, gotta work. Gotta go to school. Or having missionaries tell me, make me feel like a second rate because I don't sell everything, give it to the poor, and go out on the mission field. You ever felt that? You ever gotten that? What about calling? What about gifts? Hey, if you're called to the ministry and you're called to be a pastor, then yeah, you better go. If you're called to be a missionary in the body of Christ, yeah, you better go. But you better not belittle the others that aren't gifted like you and make them feel like second-rate, less spiritual Christians because, well, they just go to church, volunteer in the church. Amen? I've also seen belittlement take place among those members of the body of Christ who are more visible towards those that are not as visible. I've seen it. Christian walking around in pride. Look at me. I'm on the stage. Woohoo! Look at you. Nobody sees you. Boo-hoo. It's too bad to be you. That type of thing. Arrogance, pride. I have also seen Christians be belittled by other Christians that are totally wrapped up in their own ministry. And this is very common. This is a common pitfall. There are some that are gifted and they're a part of this ministry. And this ministry is such a part of their life, whatever it might be. Maybe somebody has the gift of mercy, like we've talked about in the past. And they love to feed the poor. And they're always down at the Gospel Rescue House. They're there every time they're off work. Anytime they got a day off, they're down there feeding the poor, clothing the poor. They're there helping, cleaning up that spot. That's their gift. That's their place in the body of Christ. And they spend all their time in it and they begin to look down at other people that don't do as much. Oh, I wish other Christians cared about the poor like I do. Nobody else cares, just me. That's not true. Everybody cares. How many of you care about the poor? I do. Just be careful. Don't belittle others. Don't belittle yourself. Every single one of us is important. Look what Paul says in verse 22. I love it. Still on the same topic. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Hey, Paul does say there are some members in the body that appear to be weaker than others. They do. Because of what they do and where they're placed in the body. It's true in the human body. Take the kidney out of somebody. Have you ever seen a kidney? Would you like to see a kidney? I mean, pull this squishy kidney out and put it next to a bicep. Which looks stronger? The bicep, rather than the kidney. What's the kidney going to do? But it's not weaker. It's necessary. In fact, nothing else could survive without the kidney. It might look weaker, but is it? There are some members in the body of Christ that look less honorable than others. Like there are bodies that might look like members of our body look less honorable. Most people like to look again at the face, not the big toe. And there might be some people in the body of Christ. They don't look as attractive. They're not as outgoing. They're not the upfront people. They're not very social. And they kind of, you know, they hide behind the scenes and they serve Christ where nobody even notices. But are they important? Yes. There are some members in the body of Christ that seem to be not as presentable as other members. Again, you have that example in the human body. And there may be some members in the body of Christ that appear to be less presentable than others. But does that make them less important? Is not what their function is? Isn't that just as important? Absolutely. Yes, it is. It's all important. Do not belittle others. That's exhortation number two. And final exhortation number three, church, body of Christ, let us care for one another. All of us, let us care for one another, let us respect one another, and let us help one another do the job that we're supposed to do in the body of Christ. And not compare and contrast and compete. Verse 24, God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. That's what we want. We want to care for one another. We want to respect one another. We want to let one another be all that we can be for Christ. Amen? And we find out very clearly in this chapter that we're all mutually dependent upon one another, aren't we? We all need one another. Verse 26 is a great verse. It says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's how mutually dependent we are. When you hit your thumb with a hammer, what happens? Does just your thumb go, ow, ow? Or does pain shoot through your entire body? And you scream out loud, ow! Hopefully that's all you scream, ow! If one member of the body, one part of the body suffers, it all suffers. If your body develops a fever, it's usually not local to one part, it'll affect the whole system. That's how dependent we are on one another. Kim and I are going to stop getting our kids lightsabers. Target lightsabers. They've caused a lot of medical damage at the Gray household and monetary damage as well. A year ago, Dylan was using his lightsaber as a golf club and took a swing and got Connor right here and ripped him right open. So, stitches. 2 days ago, Connor's playing with his lightsaber and he hits Kim's toenail on her big toe and ripped it off. Ew. Well, just sort of ripped it off. It was like half. You could kind of pull it and do this and turn. How do you think Kim's been feeling for the last couple of days? You've been, hey, let's go play a round of golf? I mean, no, she's been out. She's been elevated. She's had to lay on the bed elevating her foot, and it's impacted her whole life, her whole body. She went to the doctor yesterday, and they decided that they'd rip it off, and so they ripped it all off. I'm sorry. And they gave us, before they ripped it off, they put 4 shots in it, though. I want to share that as well. You know, one member of the body gets impacted, and one member suffers, and we all suffer, folks. One member of the body is honored, and the whole body is honored. Just put a little award around a 5-year-old. You know, like a ribbon? You know, Vacation Bible School, or I've put ribbons around Connor, and you see his whole body. He's honored. It affects the whole body. And that's how we are, church. So let us care for one another. Amen. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles. Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? What's the answer to those questions? No. Remember, the whole chapter is on spiritual gifts. It opens up, I don't want you to be ignorant on spiritual gifts, and then it goes over spiritual gifts, and it gives you this understanding and this teaching on the one body of Christ, and then it closes with the spiritual gifts. Obviously, all of us are not all things. We're all different. We all occupy different places. There is one body, but I do believe that each local church is sort of a microcosm of the universal church. And so I want to challenge you. At this church, we're one body. But we're also many different members, device members, and I want all of us to know and appreciate how valuable we are in this body. And those of you who have been shying back and you feel like, I really can't have anything to offer, listen, when you don't serve, there are holes. Holes in this body. Get involved. Be a part. Let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. Lord, we're so thankful for the body. Lord, I want to thank you first of all this evening that you've allowed us, you've made it possible for us to become members of your body. And I do want to pray for anyone here tonight. Maybe there's someone, Lord, who you've brought here tonight, and they've never been exactly clear on how to become a member of your body, the one body, the only body. If you're here tonight, you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you've never been baptized by the Spirit into the body. If you've never become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus, if you've never become born again. If you've never had your sins forgiven, tonight can be the night for you right now where everything changes in your life. The Bible says for those who have received Him, He has given the right to become children of God. Bible says that we need to be forgiven of our sins. We need to admit that we're sinners and understand that Jesus died on the cross for your sin and rose again the third day. And if you need to make a decision to follow Him tonight, I'd like to lead you in a prayer right now, just simply in the quietness of your heart. Right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Come into my heart right now and forgive me of all my sins. I admit that I have sinned and that I am a sinner. And I thank you for dying on the cross in my place, taking my sins upon you. And thank you for rising again. And now, Lord, wash me, cleanse me, make me born again, make me a member of your body. In Jesus' name, amen.